have your bulletin this morning, take your outline out if you would. And I do want to ask you just to turn it over very quickly. By the way, I did pray earlier. The way we're designing our services right now, a lot of Sundays, we just have the two songs at the start, and then we'll come back with worship after the word is spoken. And just to allow it to kind of be a response time, I want to encourage you to have that in your mind this morning. And but I did slip in just a prayer for Dave Rumley. I've only met Dave on the phone, and I could not reach him this week by phone. I tried to, but Dave was on staff here at Central many years ago. He is a senior associate of a church up in Illinois, and he has a brain tumor that's just been discovered in his frontal lobe, his left frontal lobe, and that has to do with your speech and partially memory, and we really need to be praying for Dave. So even if you don't know Dave Rumley, please be keeping Dave in prayer, and we just don't want to let that go this week. Amen. Turn your outline over, if you would, quickly. You'll just see the word there in red, engage. Engage. We're halfway through our year. Back in January, we kind of laid out our vision for the year, and one of the key aspects of it was a very active word, and that's the word to engage. And we encouraged you to engage with someone you do not know, and one of the main focuses of that was to encourage you to engage in someone you do not know here at church. Every time you come to church, don't just come for yourself or for your friends, the few that you know, but a reminder here halfway through our year, every time you come, look for someone you do not know. Get their name. Find out their social security number. Find out their bank account number. Whatever you want to go for, okay? But no, just encourage you, though, to be friendly and to meet people. We don't want anyone to walk in the doors, leave the doors, and no one talk to them. And if all of us engage with someone we do not know, every time we meet here, it could be a phenomenal cultural change to our church that we'd like to see and enhance what's already there. Engage with someone that needs Christ. What a joy it was for me. I prayed with a man today to ask the Lord Jesus Christ into his heart. Is there any better feeling in all the world than that? That is what church is all about. It's what Central is about. And so we encourage you to engage with someone that needs Christ. Build a relationship, etc. Engage in summer missions. We talked about Myanmar back in January, and here we are in July. To engage in ministry, we talked about different opportunities in ministry. Pastor David was just telling me yesterday or Friday, rather, at the camp meeting of some incredible things that are happening, a brand new ministry that we launched in this year, and we're excited about that. You'll hear more about that soon. And we encourage you to engage in Bible reading and in prayer, and that's our 2015 reading, which is where we are coming to today. Proverbs chapter 18, if you have your Bible or handheld open. They were scary days for me as I reflect back. And now they're kind of a figment of my, almost at times, of my imagination to go back that far. But my days of youth ministry back at Phoenix First Assembly a long time ago, and one of the main reasons it was so scary is because we relied upon the buses of the bus ministry of Phoenix First. If you've ever been there, years ago were there, you would be coming up the hill there and up to the mountain, and you would just see this lineup of buses. I don't know how many there were, but there were well over 1,000 children that were bused in every single Saturday. We called it Saturday Sunday School, which really is kind of interesting, isn't it? But it was Saturday Sunday School, and we had to, for those kids to learn about Jesus. Well, as a youth pastor in those days, that was our main, really almost our sole way of transportation, and almost everything we did except for the ski trip to Colorado. But we would use those buses, even not only just cross-town things, but we would use them to go up into southern Colorado every summer for our summer camp. We would use them to go over to Six Flags, as our youth are going to go this week to St. Louis. By the way, I've been hinting that I'd be a great youth sponsor. How many think I'd be a great youth sponsor? I mean, look at me, all right? Yeah, I love roller coasters, but Pastor Nick and Christian never once took the bite, as I would mention that. But anyway, we would use our summer trip, and we'd head over to Valencia, California, there to Magic Mountain, and we'd use one of those school buses. And nothing against those buses. The mechanics kept them going amazingly well, that entire fleet. But still, underneath the red, white, and blue of that shell of a bus, we always knew was a formerly yellow and black, already well worn out and used by the school system and salvaged by the church, one of those kind of buses that now we use to bring people and little children to know Jesus. So a couple years ago, I think I told you the story, but there I was I had two of these buses packed, over 100 youth and a bunch of youth sponsors, and we were headed out. We would leave at night so that we would hit the desert of California and Arizona, hit that desert in the coolest time we possibly could because it was hot, and then we'd arrive there and have all day there, and then we'd drive back. And so basically, it was one of the most complicated and conflicting and basically making me, a paranoia rise in my heart of anything that I did as a youth pastor, because you're going all night on that bus, and how many know, you're walking up the aisle constantly looking where hands are. I mean, you know what I'm talking about, yeah. The whole time, I'm just paranoid looking around. I'm knowing I have to give account to parents. And you'd be noting what couples were starting to already pair off, and by the time, they got there, they would be together. By the end of the day, they'd be engaged. It was amazing what God would do on those trips. We'd pray for safety, you're riding on those old buses. Pray for the drivers to stay awake. We'd have backup drivers in case they'd get a little bit groggy, etc. And all the while, you're just hoping by God's grace that both of those buses will make it all the way there to Valencia and back. Well, riding in the front of the front bus, just behind Carla and me, there was an individual, and she had asked if she could go along as a youth sponsor. It was the first time she'd ever asked, and I might say it was the last time she ever was. We were 50 miles outside of Phoenix when she started to say the following in various forms. I don't know why we think these buses will make it all the way to California and back. Carla, can you believe that we're planning on these buses making it all the way there and back? There's no way that these buses are going to break down. And I mean, it just went on and on. I started to take off my shoe and take my sock. Are you tracking with me this morning? When my wife did she's done for 31 years now, but in those days, she already learned to just simply reach over and touch my arm. And that touch of hers said the following, Jeff, be like Jesus. That's what it was all. And Carla's done that for years, more than you even realize it. Just the touch, and I know she's reminding me, the flesh is going to die, the spirit is going to live. Amen. So that woman just went on, and I mean, it ebb and flowed, but I mean, there were just moments that she was just on a tirade of words about those buses. And we crossed into California, it was about 2:00 in the morning, and all of a sudden, you felt the effect, and it was in our bus. And the smoke started to kind of come out from that bus, and I quickly stepped over to the driver and said, what do you think's going on? And the sounds of that ribbed, pavement of the highway as we're pulling off, and all of a sudden some of the kids are waking up, and the chatter's starting on both buses, and you better believe it, one of those buses was completely blown, and here I am out in the middle of the desert. I am 3/4 of the way to Glory Land. How many know what I'm saying, And I've got half the kids on one bus, half on the other bus, and somehow I had left Rich Hammer's Church Guide of Law and Litigation on my desk at home. I don't know how I did. It was a real shame I didn't have it with me. How many of you know what I'm saying? And without even giving me time to say anything, I heard the words, I told you so. If you want to know the rest of the story, email me at jtpeterson@... But we made it there. We had a great time. I won't go into all the details, and you don't want to know the details. But how many know we live by the grace of God? And I still have my papers with the Assemblies of God after that, which is wonderful. If you're reading in our 2015 reading, this past Wednesday, you read this little proverb, and I want you to read it out loud with me together today. Let's read it together. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruits. Now, do I believe that dear woman had some sort of power that she cast a spell on that vehicle? You better believe I do. It was satanic. No, I'm just kidding. I don't believe that at all. But I would say this. She definitely had power, and it created an aura, kind of a shroud that just hung over the cabin of the front of that bus for hours. Have you ever known anyone like that in your life? Hopefully you're not that person, but some of us just might be today. Matter of fact, it'd be a great exercise for you to do after this message today. It would be wonderful for you to go to your spouse or to go to your best friend or go to someone you're really close to and ask them the question, what normally comes out of my mouth? Or if you were to categorize what my mouth is like, is it positive or is it negative? Do I speak life or do I speak death? And truthfully, she didn't have any power over those engines. Please say right. Okay. No, she didn't have any power. But I tell you what, she had power over a lot of people on that bus. It was almost suffocating. And before any of us get too self-righteous to think, well, I've never been like that, let's just realize for a moment where Proverbs has taken us so far. Because the 2015 reading, we are doing Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms twice, and then through Proverbs one time. And so we are just into now chapters 18 and 19 of Proverbs, only reading a couple of days, but already in what is known to be the book of wisdom. It is the how-to book on life. You might call it God's Life for Dummies book. Proverbs has already referenced the tongue at least 25 to 30 times. And I probably have missed some, because you look up tongues, you look up words, you look up different expressions of what, talking about the words that we speak. And there's more to come, and already especially chapters 12 and 18 mention the tongue and our words many, many times. Now why? Because one of the most really fundamentally influential aspects of your life, whether it be upon you or you upon others, spiritually speaking as well, not just practically about life itself, but spiritually, one of the most fundamental aspects of influence is what you do with your words, what we do with our tongues today. It's almost frightening. Parents, think about it. What do? You just long for with that little baby. And in those early months, what are you waiting for? That first word, right? It's either daddy or papa. And it makes you feel so good, right? You just anticipate. Seriously, parents, though, think about it. How much energy you spend as a parent when they're really, really young and you are guarding them and instructing them and teaching them of how to use their words. And then on into their elementary years, and then on into their teen years, right? In every season, words to you, toward you as a parent, so that you're teaching them how to speak to authority figures in their life, words that they speak to peers and those that they hang out with, words even about themselves, or that they just say to themselves or about themselves in your hearing, and you correct that because what? You realize their words matter. There's something powerful about them. Proverbs already has warned us to this moment about those that are simply up to no good, and it tells us to walk away from them. Don't follow their path. And guess what it mentions with that? It mentions how you know those people. Several of the Proverbs say it's by the words of their mouth. And you'll note the connection there. What those people say, steer away from them. Every parent knows what I'm talking about. You've been there. Your son or your daughter brought somebody home and you just observe that kid for a while, and man, by the time they're out the door, or maybe as you're telling them to go out the door, right? You get your child there and you say, well, tell me about Bobby, or tell me about Mary, tell me about her or him. Why? Because the words, what you picked up out of their mouth. Young men in Proverbs have already been warned repeatedly to not be seduced by the words of an adulteress, by what drips like honey from her mouth. Lying, falsehood has already been addressed several times. We've been told what happens when we talk too much. When words are many, Proverbs 10:19, it's a great proverb, isn't it? When words are many, transgression is not lacking. In other words, when there's a lot of talking going on, there's probably some sin somewhere in that conversation. We've been told what to do when you say something wrong. Have any of you here ever said anything wrong? Let me see your hand. Bunch of liars. Good, good. No, just kidding. We all have. What do? When the wrong things come out of our mouth, here's what it says. If you are snared in your own words, you're caught in the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, and save yourself. Go quickly, hasten, plead urgently with your neighbor. Give your eyes no sleep and your eyelids no slumber. Save yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the hand of a fowler. In other words, when you say something wrong, get it corrected as quickly as possible. Very sound advice. But also we've been told about the good of our words. Proverbs 12:25, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. To make an apt answer, 15:23, is a joy to a man, and a word in season, how good it is. Gracious words are like honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. There is one whose rash words are like a sword that thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And then several times in Proverbs, already a couple there, you see that juxtaposition between a positive and a negative, such as this. It says, the words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright delivers them. Another one, 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but a perverse tongue will be cut off. 15:4, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of fools pours out folly. And other warnings about our words. Whoever keeps his mouth at his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. An evildoer listens to wicked lips, and a liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue. And on it goes. And the reason for all of these proverbs throughout the book of Proverbs, the reason for these proverbs is Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruits. It was 39 years ago, but as I was just reflecting on words that have impacted me in my life, I thought about the day I came off of a high school football field. It's eighth grade. In that day and in that school, we only got to play one game the whole season. It was an scrimmage between our inner squad, and yet we would practice for all those weeks and finally had the game, and I had what really felt like a good game, and one of the JV coaches 3 years ahead of me came to me afterwards, and I'll never forget what he said to me. It was so encouraging to me. And how many of you noted that I'm not the biggest guy in the world? Have you noted that? You know, I'm trying to make football. I'm trying to make it. And I'll never forget his words. They were life-giving words to me. That was 1976. I have notes that I save, and I literally had to dump out some of them that are in here. But these sit in a file, and these are just full of words. That's all they are. It's just words. By the way, there's not a single anonymous note in this. Isn't that amazing? Because how many know anonymous notes aren't worth reading in the first place? And I'm so glad that Pastor Jim Bradford talked about that long before I came, and he cleaned all that up here. Aren't you glad? I love Jim for that. Amen. But all of these are notes that many of them came from the closest to me, and some of them came from my three girls. But they're notes of affirmation, notes of appreciation, notes of encouragement, notes of blessing, notes of life. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruits. And these are written words. So what's wonderful about these is, as I did just this week, is you can pull them out and you can read again, and you can be reading years ago, but reading wonderful words that encourage you and bring life to you and bring a wonderful memory to your mind and your heart. But in this culture, a much more oral culture of that day, that ancient day, Proverbs primarily dwells on the tongue, the words that we speak. And when you stop and really consider it, so often what deeply impacts us in the recesses of our heart and our spirits and our minds and our memories will be the words that we have heard spoken to us in our lives. It's not just significant that Proverbs talks a lot about this, but that really the entirety of Scripture talks a lot about our words. And then we have stories to back those up that I don't have time today to go into, but multiple stories from the Word of God that we read and realize how words were impacting those characters and those stories. A great reminder of how important our words are. So we have this simple little proverb, Proverbs 18:21, one worth, if you've not memorized it, you leaving here and make sure you memorize it to remind yourself and put it in your heart. Proverbs 18:21, three simple thoughts that we take from it. First of all, that our words have power. Our words have power. They just do. 20 years ago, one of our Sunday school teachers right here at Central had a little girl that came in. She was in the foster care system. And one day he said to her, after class, "You are awesome and you are beautiful." And he said that when he said that to her, he realized that she almost shook. It impacted her where physically he could see what it had done to her on the inside. And so he started every single week as she would leave class. And he said, I could see it in her eyes. She was looking forward to that moment that he would speak these words. And he'd get down on his knee and he would say to her, "You are awesome and you are going to change the world." For 20 years now, he has stood in front and of the whole class. And every week he will say to them, "You are awesome. And you are going to change the world." Now, some of you may discount that and say, "Well, there aren't that many world changers in that room, I bet." Listen to me. The power of our words, Imagine if he said to our students, your children, for 20 years, you are worthless and you won't be worth anything in this world in years to come. The impact that might make. Imagine what their image of Sunday school would be, what their image of God would be, what their image of Jesus would be, what their image of the church would be. Do you realize how many people today that you talk to them that they once grew up in church or they attended church? America is filled with people. Our churches would be overflowing today if everyone came back to church who no longer attends church, and if you interviewed them about it, I guarantee you somewhere along the way it would have to do with what words were spoken that they heard, whether it was at them or at someone else, and it so deeply impacted them. That teacher tells our kids every week, you are awesome, and you're going to change the world. Taped in the back of my devotional Bible at home are a lot of papers, and it's kind of, it's overused, basically, so I just kind of have it sitting there by my chair. And I don't go to it all that often. I'm reading through the ESV Study Bible this year with all of its notes, and it's a phenomenal way to go through our 2015 reading. But that devotional Bible will sit there, and I just happen to pick it up from time to time. And a lot of the notes that I have there are folded multiple times, and then they're taped there, and they're from Whitney and Michaela and Aubrey, my three girls. Same three girls that I sat down with one day when Carl and I, we had just had our fill. They were teenagers. They were stair-stepped about every 2 years. And so, you know, it's kind of exciting to have a 13-year-old with a 15-year-old with a 17-year-old, and they're all females, and you're the male dad with a female dog and then a wife. You know, how many of you know, it just kind of, it was exciting days in those days. Wasn't it, honey? It was kind of exciting. Slightly felt outnumbered. But I remember that day I just had my fill, and I sat them down in a little circle up in our loft area, sat them down. I said, okay, we've had it. I was really putting my foot down. But I had him take out a piece of paper and multiple times write the following words. Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for the building up of others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And I had them take them then and cut them out and put them on the mirror in the bathroom and put them where you'd open up and swing out the medicine cabinet and have it there and put it somewhere in your room and put it on your door before you leave and put it on your book when you go to school and put it. And it didn't do any good, but I had it and put it everywhere I possibly could think for them to put it. I hope it did some good. Actually, I know it did good because it put the word of God in their hearts. But I challenged them on their words because they were kind of typical siblings. Now in the back of my Bible, all of those, many that I kept and I would fold and tape there. One was Whitney's first missions trip. And I got it out this week and I read it. I don't know what got into my daughter. It was beautiful. She was 16, full of all kinds of 16-isms. But at that moment, she wrote to me because she was probably leaving the country for the first time on that kind of a trip, going to be gone from mom and dad first time. And she wrote as she headed to Nicaragua how much she loved me and what a great example I'd been. It was the sweetest note. Man, I took that baby. That's a treasure to me. Then I opened up another one. It was from Michaela. And apparently that day, Michaela must have felt that I needed some encouragement. And so it was years ago, but she wrote the sweetest, kind of like a letter form. And I just folded it multiple times and taped it right there. And then I opened up several from Aubrey. Aubrey's always kind of been a little note writer to us. But all of them at different stages of where I was or where they were in life, but all words of encouragement, build up, thankfulness and gratitude and blessing. All of them powerful words. As I read them even this week. So I took pictures of one of them and sent it off to Whitney and said, you probably didn't realize this, but I saved many of those little notes you gave me. And I've got a lot of them taped in the back of my Bible. Sent her a little text message, and then she wrote back the sweetest note. And I did the same thing with one from Michaela, and she wrote back, and one with Aubrey. We're just like a love fest in the Peterson family. It was wonderful. But they're all grown now, 23, 25, 27. But those words mean the world to me. I treasure them. Because our words, whether written or oral, our words speak life and death, love, hate, peace, conflict, stability, turmoil, joy, sadness, encouragement, you are awesome and you're going to change the world, or discouragement. Literally the etymology of that word. You literally are sucking courage right out of a person. You have the power to do that through your words, life or death. So first of all, your words are powerful. Secondly, according to this little proverb, our words are choice. Life or death is in the power of the tongue. And we all know the problem. The problem has to do with the fall of man. The problem has to do with the sinful nature. The problem has to do that all of us has, according to the Bible, we have a nature, the Adamic nature, that has been passed down through all of history spiritually to us. And that is the issue when it comes to our words. And think of it this way, Christ followers, anyone who says, I choose to follow Jesus, to believe in him, we have the ability of breaking every single law that we read of in the Word of God. That's why it's there. Which is why Paul, I was just reading it this week in Romans, in my 2015 reading, just a little bit ahead of you, and I was reading about the law, and Paul says, the law's not bad, the law is good. If it wasn't for the law, I wouldn't even know what sin was. If it wasn't for the law, sin really wouldn't have been awakened where my conscience would know that I've sinned, but the law makes it very clear than what we have done, which is right or wrong, and so that's why we have God's law. And we have the capability of breaking all of those laws, and as it comes to the subject of the tongue. And thankfully, conversely, by the power of the Holy Spirit, through the work of Jesus and the cross, what Janet just sang about in that second song, a testimony to say, that is my past, but I'm new today. We have the power through the grace of God in our lives that we can fulfill the law. We can live to God's will. We can do good things and holy things and right things. And that includes our words and our tongues today. And that's where life comes in. But our words are a choice. Message Bible puts it this way, and you have it there in your outline. Words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. How many marriages have gone down in flames because of words? It's amazing. It's amazing because the words get deeper and deeper and deeper. And I've been there with couples before, and I've passed on couples to get professional help before. And you know, really at the heart of it all is that they would just speak the right words to one another. It could heal that marriage. And they've allowed their words to go. And then after a while, it's become such a form of habit. And then after a while, those words, all of them carry power in them. And they've gone for so many years that there's no way to really check this thing up. It's just like a flood of power, and it's all negative in their relationship. So it impacts them in every area of their walk in life with one another. It's crazy, isn't it? But often, the ones we love the most are the ones that we hurt the most with our words. Many times, things, we'd never say that to a coworker. We would never say that to our neighbor. We would never say that to someone, even if we have majorly negative feelings about them, but we have a freedom. It's almost a sense of familiarity, almost that sense of ownership or intimacy that with those that we know and spend the most time with and really even love the most, we'll get the purest, most honest form of our words, who we really are, and it'll come and it will harm them. It's a real danger. How many a person will go into their adult years and it will impact them for decades? Words that were spoken by a father or a grandfather, mother, grandmother, a peer, someone in their life. Why? Again, because of the choice that people made with their words. So Proverbs addresses lying to others or about others, gossiping to someone or about someone, wounding others with our words, breaking the spirit, literally, of another through our words. But also, thank God, Proverbs addresses speaking healing with our words, giving life, literally, with our words, that we have the responsibility of guarding and protecting our words, that all of this is a choice that we make with our words. James gave us the probably most powerful chapter on this, James chapter 3. You don't need to turn there. Many of you remember it well, but oh, it's a powerful chapter. And James at the beginning says basically the point is all of us blow it in one way or another. That all of us do. So we all need grace, don't we? But James says, if you can control your tongue, you are a complete or a mature, a whole person. So the challenge that he breaks into is we're going to mess up in a lot of ways, but he says, if there's one area that you can master everything if you can just master the words that come out of your mouth. And then he gives a picture of a horse with a bridle in its mouth, that bit in its mouth, or a big ship with a rudder, and how these major, strong forces are able to be controlled by just the smallest of things. And he says, that's what the tongue is like. He says, the tongue is like a little spark that sets an entire forest on fire. He says it's evil, it's a deadly poison, it's uncontrollable, it's untamable. Listen to this. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Three things there. It corrupts the whole person. This is why young people here today, and if you're battling with it at all, I understand. I went through my phase. I remember the year of my life that really had to really work on my words. But any time when parents or someone corrects you in your words, it's because you realize there's power in that. And you're making a choice with those words. And you don't even realize the ramifications of those words. But you know what it does? It says here, it corrupts the whole person. What comes out of our mouths affects all of us. And it says it literally sets your whole course of your life on fire. Literally, the path of your life, your future can be marked by the words that you speak today. And it says it itself is on fire, set on fire by hell. So I guess this little simple thought and proverb and truth and sermon today really is big stuff to our spiritual life, to our daily life, to our relationships, to God, to one another. Just control our words. Choice. And the third thing is that those who love it will eat of its fruits. So obviously our words will bear fruit. And I purposely added that little helper auxiliary verb there, will. It will bear. We could just say our words bear fruit, and that's certainly true. But our words will bear fruit. And I add that to remind us that it's not just a matter of today, but our words today will bear fruit tomorrow and into the next day and months and years and many times decades, many times an entire lifetime. Your words will bear fruit. The words when spoken just right now, today. Interesting phrase there. Those who love it will eat of its fruits. Those who love it. What does that mean? As I looked at that this week, the most common thought of this means those who love to use their tongue a lot. In the tongue is a power of life and death, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. Those that love to talk a lot, those that speak a lot, those that just always are chattering, those that use their tongue a lot, those people, they're going to eat its fruits. What's the fruit? Well, it's either life or death. It's not all good. It's not all bad. It's going to be one or the other by the choices that we make. And those who love it, those who speak a lot, there's going to be results. There'll be fruit no matter what. And think about it, how true that is. The fruit is there. The University of California study was done many years ago, and many of you are very familiar with this, but that on average, women speak 20,000 words a day and men 7,000 words a day. Why are you laughing? I didn't say anything funny. I just thought I'd mention a stat here. But before we get too carried away with it, also now research has come and science has found that the FOXP2 protein, the language protein, has much higher levels in the female brain than the male brain. So ladies, talk all you want. God made you that way. Amen? Pat yourself. Go ahead. Talk away. Bottom line is, though, either way, think about it. We all speak thousands of words every single day. Can you imagine that in a week's time? How many thousands of words? Take it over a month's time. Thousands of words in a year. Millions of words can be spoken by some. And to think every one of those words, there's life, there's death, there's power, there's choice, and there's going to be fruit that will come as a result. So any wonder in the Word of God and in the Book of Wisdom, the book that says this is some of the practical things about life, the tongue and the power of our words would be reiterated over and over again. Would you just bow your heads with me for a moment? Lord, forgive me for the unquantifiable times that I've misused my tongue. Lord, forgive us, each and every one of us here today, Lord. Forgive us for hurting others. Forgive us for hurting ourselves. Forgive us for hurting those that are closest to us. Forgive us, Lord, for hurting you, your body, the church. Forgive us, Lord, for misusing the beautiful gift you gave us of language and of speech. And Lord, I pray for any who are here today, right now, that something, even in this message, with no intent of mine, but God, something in this message resonated for them, and they remember words that were spoken, and it hurts even today. And it's been years ago. God, heal our hearts today. Holy Spirit, you can do that. Would you just patch that up right now? Just cover that area of pain in their life. Lord, restore us today. I pray, Lord, for those that have never heard an affirming word they feel like in their life. It was always such negativity. And when they think about this, Lord, maybe they fall into that just because of habit and culture and environment. Lord, I pray today that you would help them, you would heal them, and you would help their tongue to be used for you, Lord. I pray, Lord, for those that just need to really stop and consider their words, and they talk way too freely. They don't think and stop and weigh their words. Lord, all Proverbs is so good for us, Lord. So I pray, God, you'd help us all to be careful with our words. And Holy Spirit, as we open this service singing to you, we right now pray to you and say, Spirit of God, settle upon us and work your way to our tongue, which is directly linked, Jesus said, to our heart. And do a work there, Lord, in our words, the words we speak, the words we text, the words we post, the words we write, in whatever form it is, God. I pray that we'd be more careful, oh Lord, that we'd be more careful, oh Lord. With your head bowed and your eyes closed today, a dear friend of mine that was one of those people that spoke life into me as a teenager, incredible family. She was struck with a stroke just recently, and amazing enough, all of her body functions, her arms, her legs, there it seemed to be fine. She had some damage as she fell, but aside of that, everything seems to be just fine. But where the stroke took place in her brain is in that region of speech. And now that part of her mind or her brain is completely dead. And so no more concern. They're not concerned of that blood vessel, not concerned of where the stroke. They went in and did all they could do by surgery. But now she's in speech therapy. She's a beautiful lady, wonderful lady. And she is a very verbal person that just blesses people. She's very active and involved in ministry. And I'm just praying for her. And we prayed a week ago for her because it was a fresh moment then. And here a week later now, she's home, and yet what's beginning is a speech therapy. We're just praying, oh God, let that part of her brain somehow, a miracle take place that she can speak again. She spoke so much for the Lord. It's a great reminder. Imagine today, just like that. You can do everything in your life, but you can't speak. Imagine what that would be like. That's what she's going through. Would you pray for my friend? Her name is Diane. Some of you know her. Would you pray for Diane this week? God, heal that area of her brain and heal her, Lord, that she can get the functions back. Let that therapy just do miracle working in her life, I pray. But for all of us here that have that ability today, we need to offer our tongues to Jesus. We need to give God our words. We need to weigh them. We need to offer ourselves. There's that great hymn of the church, Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated to you. And that wonder, there is one phrase that says, my songs, that my tongue, I'll only sing for you. There's that one portion in it, so it covers it, but not as thoroughly and not quite as direct as this message. But we're going to sing that great old hymn of the church. And as we do, the prayer team is coming forward right now. We're going to move into a time of worship. with that. So prayer team, please step out right now and come forward. And if you need prayer, whatever it may be today, we'd love to minister prayer to you and on your behalf, whatever your need may be today. But as we sing this hymn, I really want us to be singing consecration to the Lord. But keep in mind your words. Keep in mind your tongue. And could we make this? Could we build an altar to the Lord? Maybe you need to come down this morning, just find a place of prayer. The altar area is open to you. Just come and kneel. And there's an area maybe connected to this that you really need to give to the Lord, whether you need healing in your life or whether it be that you know that you need to be careful. Whatever it is, let's take this hymn as we sing it. Consecrate ourselves to the Lord. Would you stand with me now? Take my life and love.